Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on? Welcome to episode 149 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 2, Destinot. What's up, dude? We're doing it live.
Nothing much, man. Just enjoying my new palatial New York digs here. As you can see, the background's changed. So, a little celebration. Red Bull's going classy tonight. So, you know, here we go.
Red Bull in a martini glass. Mm. How was the bouquet?
It tastes rich.
I bet. Player 3, Nightcrawler's filling in because Mel and Hate just couldn't make it tonight. So, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. We had a rushed bedtime, but it all worked out. They're all asleep. They're no naps, so kids are in bed. It's all good.
Perfect. Well, hey, guys, that music you just heard was from On Being Human. You can check them out on Spotify and YouTube. Remember, this is an unofficial Nintendo podcast, and if you'd like to get yourself a free book from Audible, go to audibletrial.com/NPC. Pick up something awesome like Console Wars or Ready Player One. The chair I'm sitting in is from OP Seat. If you go to n64josh.com/OP Seat, you will automatically save $10 at checkout. And hey, I have a Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/n64josh, you get yourself an extra podcast for just $1 a month. And right now, because I gave the wrong coupon code, my store, I got a bunch of different merchandise. I even have fleece blankets. If you want to be able to wrap yourself up in, or have N64 Josh wrap you up, you can get a fleece blanket with my logo on it. Just go to n64josh.com/store and you'll save 15% at checkout by using coupon code NPCFAM. All right. Well, let's get to the announcements.
Hey, listen.
We do this show live at 6:30. We try Pacific Standard Time. Tuesdays, 4:30 on Thursdays, twitch.tv/n64josh. Guys, I am streaming every day, Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, sometimes earlier depending on what my work schedule is, so sometimes it's earlier. Best thing to do is have notifications on or hang out in the Discord because you'll get the notification that way. And then Fridays, we still do our first look. This week, we're going to be looking at Coffee Crisis, R-Type, and I think it's called 99 videos or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. They emailed me yesterday and said, "Hey, do you want a code?" I said, "Sure." So we're gonna check it out on Friday. So that's that. We can move on into our reviews and impressions. All right. Well, I'm gonna kick this one off because I'm gonna go back to a game I talked about. I've talked about a few different times now, but Towerfall. We did 5-player Towerfall. Literally laughed so hard my stomach hurt. Like, this game is so good. After that night, I tweeted the guy and was like, "Dude, I will help get the Kickstarter going for you to get multiplayer." And then somebody made a good point. I think it was Mel. She was like, "You know, they're probably going to do a sequel and it'll probably have online." I was like, "I like where your head is at." So really, really a fun game, especially this time of year. If you're around friends and family to play some games with, Towerfall should be on that list. And it was just on sale, so I don't know how long some of those sales are going for, but Towerfall is normally $19.99. It was down to $14.99, worth every penny. So as far as some other newer games, we'll probably look at this game also on Friday. This was my wife. She picked this up, Carnival Games. So, and at first I was kind of disappointed because there was no motion controls. And I know that kind of sounds weird because a lot of times we're like, "Oh, what? We have to do motion controls?" But when you're playing a game like Carnival Games, like, you kind of welcome them, right? Like, it works. When it doesn't have motion controls, you literally move the stick and press the A button and it's like, Wow, every
kind of boring.
Every game is the same. Well, it turns out once you get enough tickets, you unlock motion controls. So, kind of a weird design, but that's
weird.
Thankfully,
like that's a reward.
I don't know.
we'll make the game more fun how it's supposed to be played.
Without those, though, like it's actually kind of boring. I was like, if this is it, because they've got bowling and things like that. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm still kind of jonesing for something like Wii Sports, you know, back in the bowling on there and whatnot. So, you know, fingers crossed, I'll try to get more of that unlocked and be able to talk about it. More than likely during the first look, though, we're not going to be doing any motion stuff. The other game she got was Just Dance 2019. I will not be doing that for a first
classic
look. And Crawler, I believe, did you get a chance to play Coffee Crisis at all?
I've dabbled around in the first level a little bit. I mean, it's to beat 'em up. I mean, that's kind of it's interesting. It's that in the future where aliens are coming. I couldn't really follow the story that closely. I was turned it on a little bit in between playing Pokemon this weekend. The attack button is the trigger, so it kind of throws me off a little bit on using that. But
I see.
There are a few. I need to spend a little more time with it, but it seems like it's can we do online? I don't remember if I saw that in the menu or not, but maybe we can do some online. I know it's got at least local co-op 2-person. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a decent beat 'em up a little bit.
Cool. I'll be checking it out on Friday. Kirby played quite a bit of it. She said it really felt like it could have been a Sega game. So she'll probably go into more detail with that on next week. So Crawler, any other games over the course of the week?
I picked up, I beat the Elite Four, last night or two night, Sunday night, maybe. I don't remember. So I've beaten the guy, I rolled credits on Pokemon. I know that the true end game starts now and it's shiny hunts and they unlock some different trainer battle stuff that you can go do. And then it's kind of just finishing out that Pokedex. So I have that. I did pick up a few Black Friday deals. I got Ultra Sun for $20. So I put that in yesterday. I haven't really started too much with that. Bought a game I already have in Rocket League, and I got it physical because the Ultimate Edition was on sale for $20. And then I upgraded my SD card to 400 gigs and I transferred that over yesterday. So yeah, that was pretty seamless. It just took time to, I made sure that I formatted the new card, which it actually didn't need to format when I put it in. It didn't do anything. It was working fine, but I wanted to make sure I did that before I put files on it, so it didn't wipe it when it tried to format it. And then I just had like 110 gigs of data to transfer, just copy onto my computer. And then I just dragged and dropped it and copied it again onto the new one. And it worked fine. So it was nice and seamless. I didn't have to chew through any of my data, which was good on my plan.
Gotcha. Destin, how about you, bud? What'd you play this last week?
I jumped around and played a little bit of everything. Jumped into just briefly Diablo 3 again. You know, just played a little bit of that. Still a fantastic game. Glad it came to the Switch. Because that's probably the only game that I've ever played handheld, and it's just because I took it to bed one night and, you know, played it for 30 minutes. Didn't notice too much of a difference. I thought I would. I was like really dreading playing it handheld.
Right.
Just because it's high, you know, it's fast paced, but
sure.
No, it wasn't too bad. I jumped into some Warframe, which, have we talked about Warframe
yet? Not at all.
Nope. Detail, really? Mm-mm. I won't get into too much detail. It's very usable. The only problem I ran into, there is an open world area. Mm. And I read an article. Someone was like, this is amazing. This is like the best thing since sliced bread. And this is like the best. And this proves that Switch can do open world games. It can at 10 frames per second, but yes, it can do open world 3D. Most of the environments luckily are indoors.
Okay.
And it works just the way it does on the PC. You can pretty much play it single player. There are some levels that it auto parties you, I guess, with other players. It's very seamless. You don't really sit in lobbies for too long, or I didn't anyways. But it's very good. I recommend it. It's free, so pick it up. I would say if you were a fan of Destiny, right now it's the closest thing you're going to get on Switch to it, whether that's good or bad. But yeah, played some of that, enjoyed that, and I haven't touched Pokemon since last week. It just didn't pull me in. I tried.
Hey,
I legit tried.
Good on you for trying.
8 hours. 8 hours I put into it. I think I got to the third gym. Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. Gyms, yeah.
Okay, so I got or almost to the third gym. So, yeah, a little bit of everything. A little bit of PC, but yeah.
Well, touching back on Warframe, I know you and I. Well, you booted up PC last week after the show, right? And I had downloaded the game while we were doing the show last week. And I think when we hopped on, we determined that crossplay is active at least between Switch and PC, right? Because I was seeing all sorts of chat stuff going on.
Didn't you say you heard people?
Or no? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But there was a chat menu that opened up, and that was it was going.
There's a chat menu.
Yeah,
and you know, I tried to look to see if there was anything online about crossplay, and all the articles I found were like, "Ooh, is it going to have crossplay?" And they were from like the earliest one I found was probably from like March of this year. So it's almost like it just went dead after that. Like no one was talking about it. I don't know. I can't find anything concrete yet.
Well, so the game went kind of quiet. They had that announcement during the summer, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It was like late spring, early summer, they announced it was coming. And then it was kind of just quiet, and it was just sitting there on the eShop like it was coming soon. And then all of a sudden it was like a week out, and it was like, oh, it's available this day. So there wasn't really a lot of fanfare leading up to it.
Yeah. That's something I know, Josh, you touched on this. It was either 3 episodes ago, or maybe it was just you and I chatting. You mentioned something about how like there's like this giant lead up to games, and then it's like they release and it's just like, boom, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we see this with movies too. You know, it's like, if it doesn't have a giant box office weekend, like the weekend it comes out, it's just, you don't hear anything about it.
Right. Right.
Kind of weird. I guess maybe you only hear about it if you ingrain yourself in those circles, but yeah, they've been fairly quiet on this. I feel like there'd be a little bit more hype.
Speaking of trying to come out the gate strong, I mean, I think I saw Battlefield 5 or whatever on sale this week already, and it came out a week ago.
Or a month ago, depending how much you paid.
That's true.
But yeah, that one is very, I think, lackluster. I would use the word.
It's missing its third leg. It doesn't get its Battle Royale until later. But we're on a Nintendo show.
But yeah, I played a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, but like I said, Warframe, I do recommend it. It's free. It's not that big of a download, surprisingly. I think it was like 20 meg or 20?
12.
12?
12 gigs.
Oh, 12 gigs, yeah. I'm happy to hear that you didn't have a problem getting a new card and transferring stuff, because I have a 128 gig card. And
That's what I upgraded from.
Okay. I have 20 gigs left, so that's like one game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So depending on the game, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll be in the market soon. I saw someone put a 512 in, and they get $4.99 after it formats. So.
Yeah, it was $3.66 for me, clean, in my system.
Nice.
So, I did play more Pokemon. I'm absolutely loving it. I took it to Thanksgiving, and my nephews went crazy. Four of them, I had Joy-Cons and Pokeballs in four of their hands, and they were loving it. Like, I was trying to eat my dinner after I got it set up, and they would catch a Pokemon and come running, screaming, telling everybody, like, they're from the ages 6 and down. And so, like, it was really, really a good time. Like, it was mission accomplished for me. Like, I just wanted to see them like really enjoy this and kind of get the cool uncle brownie points. And my brother was right there. And one of them said something to me like, oh, he wrote what he was thankful for, and I made the list and my brother didn't. Right. And my sister's telling me this while my brother's there. And we're just, it's all in good fun. Well, the youngest one, or no, I can't remember. I don't think it was the youngest one. He's like 3. He was like, he kept calling me my brother's name. And I'm like, hey, Who's your favorite? He's like, your brother. I was like, oh, you know, so we got to kind of dish it out. It was a good time. It was a good time. But yeah, did play. I think I'm close to 20 hours into Pokemon, and it's like, it's pretty much a brand new adventure for me. Like, I beat Yellow, but I don't remember any of it. Like, none of it's like, I can kind of vaguely remember, like, oh, this kind of looks familiar, but you know, like, it's been a long time. And
you're close to your fourth gym, aren't you?
I've got to be through a lot of.
Yeah, you got through that. The middle section there after gym three is the hardest, like, spot to break through, because it's a long stretch of not battling in a gym.
I caught a shiny and everybody went crazy in chat. Like, I didn't even, I'm like, why is that little skull dinosaur green, you know? And then and they were like, you have a shiny, hold still. I was like, okay,
everyone I feel is missing the mark here. I haven't gone into a single Pokemon stream where they've gotten a shiny and they play the sound clip from Moana. I'm really disappointed that people are really not capitalizing on this.
Well, there you go, guys.
Watching shiny hunt streams is so boring. It's so boring.
Like, I think you and Mels were talking about it, how, like, this is something that could take hours, days. Yeah.
And weeks. people are streaming it and they're just sitting there, and you have to, like, really engage with your chat if you're going to do that. But because otherwise it's just you sitting there, especially after you get to your streak. There's no point in trying to catch a non-shiny after you're at your streak, because if it runs away, you lose your streak. And this game, you can't determine, there's no guarantee that it's just going to stick around. I think it's on a random number generator on how many balls you throw, or if it just decides to be done. And if you just go try to catch a random high stat Pokemon, it's not worth it. So they just sit there. You just sit there in the bushes, just waiting.
So this, the Cubone, I believe is his actual name, he just was wandering and he was green, so they were like, you've got to catch this one. So I filled it full of berries and hit it with the great balls or ultra balls or whatever, and and we snagged it, and it has evolved one time so far. So
that's all it does.
But no, I mean, yeah. I'm really, really enjoying that game, so I can't say that enough, and I'm going to try to finish it before Smash comes out.
You got 10 days to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I just want to ask you guys real quick on that. So Josh, you're liking it. I know Crawler, you've played many in the past, like the series. Would you like to see it stay on the current course as far as, like, aesthetics and, I guess, mechanics? Or I don't know, I just thought of this because I was reading other chats today about Monster Hunter. What if it was more of like a Monster Hunter where it's a little more engaging as far as the hunts, as far as not just throwing a ball out there? What if you had to, like, throw multiple balls or chase it down through the jungle, or, like, it was more, I guess more of an interactive experience? I don't know if that's the right.
So it sounds like Raptors in Jurassic Park. Is that kind of what you're
just
for?
A more dynamic, I guess.
So it, so mainline games, it's been a while since I played one. I mean, I just picked up the most Gen 7. I have that sitting over there with Ultra Sun. The mainline games, you have to weaken a Pokemon, okay, a wild Pokemon, when you find it. And if you kill it, if you make it, it doesn't die, it faints or whatever.
Sure.
Kid game. But if you kill a Pokemon, then it goes away and you don't get a chance to catch it. So that's why it's so important, like, on when we were discussing, like, the Snorlax fight or the legendary bird fights in this current iteration of Let's Go, they're teaching players to drain it all its HP all the way down. Mm-hmm. And that is not how you're going to succeed in Gen 8 when it comes out next year, because you want to get, there's percentage chances when you get a Pokemon's health down to red, or if you paralyze it, or if you do anything else, that the stats go up of you potentially catching it. So you want to take it down as far as you can go without killing it, and then you want to go to your bag and bring out your balls. So that's how a normal wild Pokemon fight goes, is you fight it first, weaken it, and then catch it. Let's Go is simplified the whole thing to make it just like Go, where it's just the ball action of catching with balls.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, I think the core group of Pokemon fans would be outraged if they changed what core gens are. And this is its own thing. And Kirby's expressed her dislike for it.
Dismay.
So, I mean, I think it's engaging enough when you actually have to come up with the right moves to and know how much potential damage you can do, because you don't want to one-shot Pokemon. And I feel like in this game, they've overemphasized how much the correct matchup will take down. Like, if you use Pikachu against a flying type, it's super effective and you're most likely going to drain it all the way down. I was able to one-shot Pokemon three levels above a specific type that was the correct matchup. So I think it's just a little emphasized in this game. So hopefully it won't teach people too many bad habits, but there's going to be a learning curve. If Let's Go is your first one, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think that's some of the concern for, I think that's some of the concern for Mel's that people aren't going to stick with it or quite get it.
But. Yeah. But I mean, this got me to, I've, like I said, I haven't had a mainline Pokemon game in a while, and I picked up the last gen just to try it out for a little bit because it was on sale.
Yeah. I'll jump back into it. I purchased it. It just, I didn't know what to expect, I guess. And I was hoping for it to kind of grab me, like pull me in. Maybe I was expecting too much from what it is in its current state. You know, like you said, there are mainline games. Maybe I would have a different reaction to that. But yeah, hopefully, I think it did well this weekend. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see what comes from it.
I mean, I think it's doing well on Twitch. I think it's doing, I mean, it's getting Nintendo out there.
Yeah.
So I had to replace my Switch this weekend, and it wasn't like there was a major, you know, like the screen fell off or something like that. My kickstand, the plastic was so brittle that it chipped out and the kickstand would just flop. And so my initial thought was, oh, I need a new kickstand. So I ordered one real quick, then was like, you know, why don't I try? And it wasn't expensive, thankfully. It's not going to be here forever. It came from like China or something. But so then I'm like, well, wait, we have like, you know, we have another Switch here. I popped that kickstand off, put it in. It didn't work. It was the actual back casing. According to a little bit of research I did, the first few models, like the first models, that plastic is really brittle. And so I've only opened that kickstand maybe a dozen times, right? I don't use that mode very often. So I will tell you guys, and I'm going to try to put out a video, but it's pretty, like, I would just kind of stick my thumb under and lift that thing up. Well, apparently that's what did it in. So you can actually take your pointer finger and kind of almost pull the kickstand down a little bit when you go to open it and then slide it out, and it opens smoothly, and you won't risk, like when I took it into GameStop, because I had the warranty, I took it into GameStop and the guy pulled the kickstand out, little pieces of plastic actually fell into his hand. You know, so, and I think some of that was for me trying to like finagle the thing to get it in there so that it wouldn't keep flopping open. So that, and we had a dock that was kind of messed up. So I returned all that and they were cool. I walked into the store, did a system transfer right there in the store. Took a little bit of time, you know, but, once I got it all nailed down, it was fine. So,
let's be honest. You walked in, they were like, hi, Josh.
They
talked about your lives,
the GameStop the people don't know them that well, probably, right?
No, they do.
The Best Buy people.
They do. They do. But
the funny thing is, when they first talked about the kickstand, I remember like them being, hey, look, it just comes off. And they're like ripping it off, you know, and putting it back on. Like,
right.
It's designed to do that. It's cool. And then here we are. I've lost track of time. What are we, 2 years later? A year?
Almost 2 years, yeah.
And, you know, apparently now it's a known issue. So, interesting. I've opened mine literally 10 times tops ever.
Yeah.
That's probably all I've done.
Yeah, so
yes. I did it probably the most I've ever done it yesterday, putting in and out with
the card.
SD cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And that's the main reason why you wanted to replace it too, right, Josh? Is just to have that cover on the SD slot.
Well, and just in, like, I'm thinking about like when we're, you know, like we're heading to Genesis to go play in Smash tournaments, and I'm like, I don't want this thing just flopping in the wind when I'm like on the plane, and you know what I mean, like it's just yeah you guys get it. So
there he
what's
is.
Up Hate Zero just joined us. I think I got the overlay set up. Yeah, we're rocking and rolling. So cool. Yeah,
I've I mentioned it in the chat. It's funny because think about it this way, that little card slot, what if the door was super tiny? I feel like it would break even more. So I felt someone in their infinite wisdom was like, probably an engineer somewhere, that was like, you know, we can make it longer. That'll increase the, you know, they'll have more leverage. It'll take less effort to open this. And then the water boy walked by. I was like, it's a kickstand, you know? And, you know, someone high in their infinite wisdom was probably just like, yeah, let's market that. And then the engineer's probably like, that thing's going to break in about 10 minutes.
Right. So, right. So, Eric, I know you played a little bit of Pokemon and have enjoyed it. So go ahead and give us we're just about to finish up this section of reviews and impressions. So you came at the right time.
Pokemon Let's Go is my video sucks, doesn't it?
You're good.
I'm cutting out. Okay. Pokemon Let's Go is the Pokemon game I didn't want to like. I desperately wanted not to like it. But to be completely blunt, I enjoy it more than I ever anticipated. And that's because I'm playing it all handheld, and it's just like playing on the Game Boy originally. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the motion controls, I'm not going to lie, and I think that's a big miss, and that's what takes this game from being, you know, a 9, an 8, a 10 for me, to something more manageable like a 7, or, you know, just because I want variety in how I play. I don't like playing with motion controls. I would prefer to use a pro controller or my 8-bit do, because I think that'd be perfect for this type of game.
But I tried to, so I have the 8-bit do controller and the USB adapter, which allows you to pretty much anything that's Bluetooth, can connect to your Switch. For a while I was playing with a PS4 controller on my Switch, just cause I could. So
yeah.
I tried
cause that D-pad is so good, right?
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, I think I was actually doing very well that week in Splatoon, so I might have to go buy another PS4 controller. No, but I tried to pair the controller just to this, just to make it believe it was a generic controller, and then plug this into the Switch, because I was hoping that it would just think it's like a Joy-Con or something, you know.
It still reads it as a pro controller.
Sure. It reads it as a pro controller. So unfortunately, I tried.
Yeah, and I sadly think that the thing that frustrates me is I believe the reason they did it is simply to sell the Pokeball. Like, there's no other reason I can think of other than, like, well, if this supported the pro controller, not as many people are going to buy the Pokeball. I think the Pokeball would have sold anyways, and I believe that was their strategy, and it's kind of a bummer. But all in all, I like the game. I didn't think, you know, them changing the random encounters would be that big of a thing for me, but it's made the game a lot more manageable. If you want to avoid dealing with the random encounters, like, you can now, whereas before it's like, oh, I take 3 steps and here comes that, you know, famous music. So
yeah, it makes caves a lot more manageable.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, let's get on into our news section, huh? So we're going to kick this off with a rumor, and the rumor is that Skyward Sword is making its way to the Nintendo Switch. Now, this rumor comes about in kind of a strange way. So I got the Nintendo Life article here, and it says, last week, The Legend of Zelda concert began in Japan, showcasing a live music performance and based on a long-running Nintendo series. Let me see if I can just, let's see. The Zelda series producer teased that Skyward Sword would be soaring onto the Switch, and his this happened when he responded to the people who had attended the event and posted on social media. Here's what reportedly had to say: "We know what you are thinking, Skyward Sword on Switch, right?" And that apparently is the clue everyone needed to go that, oh, okay. Now, if this game is coming, one, cool, I'd probably finally finish it, but also please don't make me use motion controls to swing a sword. Although, with the Switch Joy-Cons, it would probably be better than anything we could have experienced on the Wii. What, Destinat, what do you think? If this is coming, will you jump into it?
Oh, man. I have never... I want to say I've never played... Wait. I've played Skyward Sword. I don't think I got out of the beginning village. So I would jump into it. Actually, at the time when I was playing it, the controls were all jacked up, and I didn't like the control scheme. So, yeah, I guess if they switch it up, I'm pretty much like in the hate camp on this one, though. I also don't like being, I guess, like shoehorned into control schemes. Maybe because I'm just old and lazy, and I'm like, yeah, let me be, you know, non-proactive. Let me sit on my couch with my Doritos, and I just want to like flick the up button or something like that, like to do whatever.
I got you.
I would like to play it though. I don't know. Is that a big enough of a rumor though to be like, I know what you're thinking. You want it, right? Like,
when I saw it, I think it was also tied in with a tech demo for the Switch was tied in with like an HD remake, yes, of Skyward Sword. So maybe it's half built already. I mean, I saw screenshots, yeah, from whatever tech demo they had.
Yeah. If we're just throwing that out, near Automata is coming to Switch, guys.
Yeah. Well, you predicted that a couple weeks ago,
right? Rumor confirmed by a rumor.
It's on a podcast. It must be true.
Yeah. But no, true. I would definitely jump in. I would like to play it. I'm not going to lie. There's something about graphics that can either turn me on to a game or turn me off to a game. And as much as I know people say, and I've said it myself, like, I don't care about graphics. If it's fun and it's good to play, I'll play it. Whatever. I'm going to be the first one ever to go on record and be like, that's a lie. I like having some graphical fidelity and just, you know, and if it's a good art style, it doesn't have to be like,
right,
picture perfect. It can be Wind Waker. I liked that style.
That's why Wind Waker. Well. That's why Wind Waker holds up.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people I know hate didn't like it at the beginning, or that's why kind of against it, right? Is because of the art style.
I was against all cell shading back then. I thought it was a stupid gimmick, and everything was doing that. So it wasn't Zelda per se. It was anything. I was like, this is terrible. Why are we doing this?
What do you have against Jet Set Radio?
Nothing anymore. But
what do you have against Parappa the Rapper?
Back then, everything was going that way, and I was like, is this the future of gaming? Like, where's this photorealistic Zelda they kept showing tech demos for?
Yeah, they shot themselves in the foot on that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've all seen Ocarina run in Unreal. It looks really good.
Yeah, looks amazing. It's the Zelda game we always wanted and we'll never get.
Yeah, but Unreal runs really well on the Switch too. So
it does. Why not? Where is it? They've already fixed the controls with 3DS.
Here's my thing with this game. Like, cool. Let's get it on there. Like. But let's get the other Zeldas on here too while we're at it. All right. We've already got the two Wii U titles that were GameCube titles. Like, those are easy. Those got to be easy ports. All the other ones seem to have been, right?
Yeah, Wind Waker HD, just get it over there.
And the reason for this is because the Wii U is a Zelda machine. You can get almost every Zelda title on that thing. You throw the 3DS in the mix, and I think you have access to every...
I think you can... Can you not do the Game Boy games on Wii U? I think you can do almost all the Game Boy
games. So you can do Game Boy Advance on Wii U, and then you can do the original Game Boy titles on the 3DS. So, okay. And
between
then,
the two of them.
Yeah, and then you have the two GameCube remakes. You're pretty much, and then you got the backwards compatibility of the
and then Ocarina and Majora's is on the virtual console as well on Wii U.
Yep,
and it's on 3DS too.
Exactly. So that's like that's where I'm at. Like, let's get more of these Zelda titles available, you know? And
what I'm hearing is Zelda's had its day. Let's make the Switch the Metroid console.
Hey, there you go. That would work too.
I mean, the trilogy needs to come, but yeah.
Yeah, it does. With non-motion controls.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get your pinky out.
I've never played Skyward Sword. I would welcome it. Just because Twilight Princess kind of turned me off to the motion controls with Zelda, so I wasn't too happy to go pick that up, just because how much I heard it needed. It does need motion control. But talking about the option to play how you want to play, I would be okay with Pro Controller if it took kind of the route of like Mario Odyssey, where you can shake the Pro Controller and do different hats with or attacks with the hat, but it's much easier to do it with split Joy-Con. And if it gives you the option, I don't want to be told how to play. Like that's we're going back to kind of how we're talking about Pokemon, where it doesn't even register the Pro Controller. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, but which
I do think the Joy-Con could handle, like they are very responsive.
The easy answer to having the Pro Controller work with Pokemon, I mean, a lot of people are assuming because Nintendo wants to sell the Pokeball, right? I mean, it's a cool peripheral. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy playing with it. Give us a Pokemon Pro Controller, and now you're selling those as well, right? You're probably and then people can play it exactly how they want to play it.
Red on top, white on the bottom with a black stripe.
Yeah. However,
it doesn't even have to come from them, because it seems like they kind of stopped. What, they made the Splatoon one, and then they made the Xenoblade one.
Yeah, and Smash is coming out.
We got a new one coming out.
Okay, we got a Smash one coming. But yeah, we also have third parties throwing their hat into the ring.
Oh, man, it's out of control.
I don't know if they want to step on their toes.
Those are getting a little out of hand, though, and they're not. You can kind of tell they're not the highest quality.
Nyko even has Joy-Cons coming out that are much beefier and a little more comfortable to hold. So.
Made of lead.
Yeah, I guess.
They don't dock.
Really?
Yeah, they're basically controllers.
Do they have USB-C then? Is that how you charge them?
I didn't look at that, but like it's not on a rail, so the shoulder buttons are a fixture. I mean, it's a permanent fixture on there. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's a strategy, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, PlayStation took that route and they made that little mini PlayStation controller for kids.
Was it Hori made that?
Yeah, yeah. Hori made that for him.
So, Eric, this is for you, baby.
Yep.
Mario Tennis Aces getting Petey Piranha and Shy Guy this week. All you got to do is go into a tournament and win or lose just one game. Maybe you have to do two. I don't know if that's going to unlock both of them. I didn't see the details there.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain it's later this month. I was talking about it with Mel. She's like, well, it was a Nintendo of Europe. It was their article, and it was like, if their date is 12,
it's backwards.
Yeah. So,
day is first, month is second.
Yeah. So we're pretty sure it's this month.
December 12th.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. So
I think we're the only country that does month, day, year.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, but doubles tournament is going to be a thing.
Yep.
Should have been here from the get-go. I know that's what everybody's going to say, but it's finally here. Doubles is the most is the best way to play this game. I'm sorry, but like we popped it in over the weekend, and it was like you get doubles going, and it is just a blast. Like it is so much fun.
Well, that game was ruined for you because day one out of the box, you played with a couple of their streamers doing private doubles, and everything was downhill from there, right? Because it wasn't as fun.
Right. So, and then lastly, we got Boom Boom, Pauline, and Luma are going to be making their way to Mario Tennis Aces in 2019. Eric, were you stoked for this?
Hold a rocket or a racket.
Right.
What was your question? I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Are you stoked? Are you ready to jump back in?
Yeah, I think, like you said, doubles is the most fun way to play the game. It kind of hides the skill differences that you might have playing against someone else, because it turns into pure chaos. know, you got one person playing the net, just going crazy as hard as they can. And, you know, a lot of times when we were playing, if I wasn't on the net, I'd just be watching you. And when one got by, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot what to do. Like,
right. you have to react. The back line's harder than the net, I feel.
Right. Because you don't expect it to actually get through. And when it does, you're like, oh no, what button do I press? Like, how do I do this? So it's a blast. I think that is a underutilized portion of that game that they really should have focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to kind of just breeze through the rest of this news here because I want to get into our talking point, which is, I know it's going to take a little time. So let's go. Pikachu and Eevee were the fourth highest selling item this Black Friday. God of War was the fifth, apparently, according to the report that I saw. Above Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee were like actual toys, like these little fingerling puppets that kids play with.
And, LOL surprise.
LOL surprise.
So it was number one video game then?
I believe so, yes. I don't think there was another game.
And that probably doesn't even account for the systems probably sold too then.
Yeah, I'm not sure. The article I saw didn't say. But if you're playing the Messenger, it has an update, right? Which I believe is like a, is it like a Story Mode Plus or something like that?
I saw something on the Discord a couple weeks ago when they announced it that it was in certification. I think something along the lines of quality of life and then possibly a new game plus. I stopped listening to the video because I haven't fully beaten it yet, but I do. And they said, don't listen to this video if you don't want the story spoiled. I think I'm far enough in the story that I think I know how it ends, but the Metroidvania part of it, once it opens up, it's a little daunting just because fast travel around that map isn't super easy. I think it is a new game plus mode.
Gotcha. And then finally, Splatoon's final content update will be here in December, and a handful of weapons. You know, we were playing Splatoon last night on stream. We always do at 8 o'clock on Monday nights. And, you know, it looks like we're just seeing a lot of the, a lot. I mean, they're all kind of similar weapons, but they end up with different power-ups and things like that. And some of the new power-ups they came up with, like the stamp and whatnot, like
the stamp is fun.
It's goofy. It's goofy, but it's a lot of fun. So, but that will be the final content update. And then I believe, and that's happening December 5th. And then they're going to be doing Splatfest until July. And then after that, nothing else for Splatoon 2. So,
isn't there some kind of giant party crash stuff too this weekend?
Are you talking with ARMS?
Yeah,
that there might have been. I didn't see anything as I was going through
stuff. I don't have the game, so I don't know for sure, but I think I saw there was like I think it's a giant tournament.
Oh, like a
kind of,
you know, here's what's interesting. I didn't click on it, but I did see that Nintendo of Japan or something was actually streaming on Twitter like an ARMS tournament or something like that. Like I didn't click on it. So I'm not real sure, but anyway, let's move on to our talking point, which is the Game Awards.
Here we go.
All right. So Game Awards 2018. Interesting game selections here. So for Game of the Year, I'm just gonna read them off real quick. We have Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, Red Dead Redemption 2. Okay, and then you have a category like Best Ongoing Game, Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. Right? And so on and so forth. What you'll notice as you go through this list is there's very few Nintendo games. You get Best Art Direction and you see Octopath Traveler. All right, you get to and I don't know where we count Celeste, because it was on multi-platform, right? And then
yeah, but it was prominently featured on Nintendo, though. I think a lot of people categorize it as a Nintendo game. I think I don't know if it came day and date with PC, but it might have done Switch first. I don't remember, but then I think it came later to the other consoles.
Yeah,
I think I'm not 100% sure.
But Octopath again for sound or for music score.
Yeah, music is Celeste and Octopath.
And then again, he keeps scrolling, and there's not. Well,
we gotta get to Family Game
for Josh. Nintendo, and then it looks like Best Independent Game. You've got a handful of games that were on the Switch: Celeste, Dead Cells, Into the Breach, and The Messenger. Again, scrolling right along, and Fortnite's also Best Mobile Game, which I think is kind of funny. So, and then again, another game: Best Action Game, Mega Man 11, which was on the Switch. A lot of these lists are the same, like the same five or six games. The game of the years kind of just overtake most of this list. So you got Octopath for best role-playing game. Probably the most frustrating one for Nintendo fans is that Xenoblade didn't even get considered for this. And
it should be, because it came out like 3 days after the Game Awards last year. So it should be considered in that. In my opinion, I don't know how Jeff Keighley works it out, but.
Yeah, but does this mean Smash won't even get a chance for best fighting game next year because it came out at the same time?
Well, I wouldn't want to be him on Twitter if that's the case.
Yeah. I guess it depends on what comes out next year fighting game wise.
Right. Right. And then you move on to best family game. It's all Nintendo. Right? I mean, you got Overcooked 2 and Starlink, but Labo, Aces, Super Mario Party, and then you know, so it's almost like it feels like they made a category for Nintendo games. Like they should have just said best Nintendo games.
Nintendo won Game of the Year last year as well. I mean, they just didn't put out something that drove the conversation strong enough. And the part of the reason for that is it was a kind of a weak year of ports when it came to first party Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the springboard then. And Eric, I want you to kick it off. Like, what Crawler just said is kind of my sentiment as well. Like, there wasn't anything that Nintendo released that was like really Game of the Year worthy, right? I mean, honestly, and I didn't play any of these other third party. I played Monster Hunter World for like 3 hours. I did nothing in that game. Yeah, and then. And then, yeah. And, you know, I did some Fortnite and stuff like that. But for the most part, like, Nintendo came out of the gate with the guns blazing last year. How were they going to follow that up? The only way would have been to, like, Animal Crossing. Is that Game of the Year material, though? I think it has a huge following. I think it's gonna sell gangbusters. I think it's gonna move consoles. But is it Game of the Year material? I don't think so. Not that I don't love the series, but like usually when you think of Game of the Year, you think of something like pretty epic and sprawling, and you think of like Zelda and God of War and those kind of games, right?
And Nintendo fought themselves last year. They had two games nominated in Game of the Year? Mario.
Yeah, Mario won a couple. Various Game of the Year awards. So
right. So, you know, it makes me think that come to year three, year four, we're going to see new Mario, new Mario Kart, new, possibly new Splatoon, new Zelda. Like I kind of think we're going to see these games come back again and see two of them on the Switch. But like, where are you at with this, Eric? What do you think?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts. So I think Nintendo did exactly what they needed to this year. You can't follow up a year where you get a new, you know, awesome Mario game, which was not the best game that came out last year. You know, that's going to be tough to beat ever, any year. So this year was a ton of indie support, some really solid third party support. You know, we got Wolfenstein 2, which was a very capable port. We got now Warframe just came out. You know, we got Fortnite on Switch. We've got a ton of great games. And then they filled the Nintendo void with giving us ports and some solid games like Aces and you know, the new Mario Party. So I think they did exactly what they needed to this year to make sure that we know just because we're not getting a Zelda doesn't mean we're in the same boat that the Wii U was in its life cycle. You're not going to face those droughts anymore when we're not pumping out a game every month, because that's what it felt like they were doing in the first year. You know, someone else is going to be pumping out games, too many of them. Like, there's more games coming out than I can even buy or look at.
Yeah, so. That's no joke. That's no joke. Destinat, where you at, bud?
I don't know. Like, you mentioned maybe seeing, like, another Mario Kart. Maybe, and I say, like, a huge maybe. So the Mario Kart we currently have technically isn't like the Switch Mario Kart. It's
correct.
It's the deluxe edition from the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't technically have a game yet, but other than the original Nintendo, how often have we seen Nintendo pump out multiple games per like life cycle of the system? You know,
kind of more, especially with Zelda, almost every system.
Well, no, because, okay, well, the original Nintendo had Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3.
Correct. Super Nintendo had 1. I'm sorry, yeah. For Zelda. I was thinking Zelda. So Zelda, there was 2 Zeldas on Nintendo.
Zelda's like that on the edge, though. So it's
yeah,
like
they double dip.
They pump it out on both systems. So it's like a, I don't know, to me it's like a kind of like a, it's right there where mm-hmm. it, and I don't know how many Wii U copies of, you know, Zelda sold. As far as Breath of the Wild goes, you know.
Right. But it was a similar situation with Twilight Princess with the Wii and the GameCube. Yes. And then we ended up seeing Skyward Sword. And we also had Wind Waker on the GameCube. Mm-hmm. Right. So we saw two.
I don't know. I just take it as a huge maybe, you know. Because the only reason I would say Mario Kart, yes, we don't officially have like Mario Kart Switch yet. But we do got Odyssey. I think that is the Mario game for the Switch.
And my argument would be Galaxy, because we got 1 and 2, because that Galaxy, mm-hmm. the first one did so well. And then they didn't have any way to do DLC. So then we got a whole new game. We have no DLC for Odyssey. It's like the top selling game. Like,
I'm surprised they haven't done DLC yet.
If they have, they have that engine. Why not?
I think
people were so rubbed wrong by the Zelda DLC that Nintendo's afraid of touching that one again.
That could be.
I think it really depends on the life cycle of the Switch, because they're in a very advantageous position in being that, yeah, when you compare them to PlayStation and Xbox, you could be like, oh, it's the weakest system. Or is it the strongest handheld system out there? They really have no competition. It's like, it's almost like, look, we have the best way to take like a, let's say like a Wolfenstein. It might not be the best system that game is on, but it's the best system that you can play Wolfenstein on a bus, you know? So
you want to pull your laptop out?
You know, it's kind of like, I feel like with the Switch, instead of being like, hey guys, let's dump money into this and put more RAM in it and more processor power. Let's just go where they're not going, and that's the portable market. And unless someone competes with this, how long has the 3DS been out? Too long, in my opinion. But, you know, like, who's competing with it? So why dump it? You know, we could make games for this thing forever. Until it's just so old and games have gone to the point where they have to be so much better on another system. Now it's like, they're a little bit better.
Well, the thing is, if the install base is as massive as they want it to be, mm-hmm. people are still going to make games exclusively for it anyway. You know, like we may see, you know, like take Assassin's Creed. We wouldn't see the new Xbox or the new PlayStation version. We would probably see the exclusive one, or we'd see the Mario plus Rabbids version.
or they take the newfound Xbox mentality and the Apple mentality, where the hardware can upgrade, but developers have to come to the table for right now Xbox is kind of in control with their developers. They're saying, we're going to move forward with our hardware, but you need to make sure your system, your program can run on all three versions of our Xbox right now.
Yeah. I don't know why that's a hard thing to do. PC's been doing that since the creation of PCs.
Yeah.
So
The Xbox just automatically sets your settings for you. There's high, medium, and ultra, right. And they just crank it up or down.
It's interesting you say that because I think this week or last week, Final Fantasy 13 got its backwards compatibility on the Xbox One X. And not only did they go in and tweak it to where, hey, it'll run in 4K, they actually created brand new assets for that game that weren't even there previously because there was no 4K textures. I actually recently bought the game on Steam and I can run it in 4K, but it's just bumping the resolution up and, you know, making the edges smoother and making the shadows higher quality. But no,
I think they are because Xbox has a secret lab at Redmond that is these guys that's their passion and their project they're doing. And they just, they're just doing backwards compat stuff.
Skate 3 on Xbox One X is the best way to play Skate 3.
Yeah. So. But yeah, why not like Xbox is doing, stick with one, I guess you could say architecture is what they're doing, and scaling up or down. And yeah, so basically in the future, you'll be able to play Halo 30, if everything goes as planned, on your Xbox One. It's just not going to look any better than what the Xbox One can pump out.
Yeah,
and if you buy the Nintendo's Xbox 50, it looks better.
They've been doing that because I can put a DS game in my 3DS, and it doesn't fill the entire screen. It fills how big the DS screen was, and the graphic fidelity is not great, but the game is the same cartridge size, and it runs, and your library comes with you until they get rid of the name DS. I think all those games are going to play. Mm. And they've done that as well. Like go back to the DS Lite was a backlit GBA.
So
they've set a precedent for themselves to continue supporting their hardware.
And people keep buying it, which is nuts. They keep buying that
Stop DS. Buying it.
So they can't. they make a Mario Maker one and it looks amazing. And then
it's a wedge though.
Then you have to add it. It looks nice on a shelf, you know. So but I mean, I don't think I don't think we're gonna see any major game of the year announcements from Nintendo next year. You know? If you think about it, we know a lot of the games that are already coming out last year or next year. Yoshi, Fire Emblem, supposedly Bayonetta 3,
Luigi's Mansion,
supposedly maybe? Metroid, Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, right?
Pokemon.
Yeah, so that's just seven off the top of my head right there for Nintendo first party releases. Okay. Oh, Mario Deluxe, right? So there's eight. That's January. So
what was the cadence between Ocarina and Majora's?
A year? 2 years? So,
I mean, the engine's made. Allegedly there's dungeon teams being recruited. I mean, do we see a December?
Dungeon teams. There were no dungeons and
No. They've been recruiting.
Oh, okay.
For an alleged new Zelda.
So, hey,
take advantage of the engine.
Just give me Breath of the Wild with dungeons, and you've got the perfect Zelda game. that's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Just bury a bunch underneath the ground, and just let us go back into
do
the real DLC.
right. But I mean, are we okay? Not are we okay? But what do you guys think about that? It's not that we don't there's not a lack of anything to play, right? You know, I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. Look, due to my interests are right now, I've been playing a 3 or 4 year old game for the last 7 months in Smash Bros. Right. And I'm going to put
as much, if not more, time into the new game, because it's just, that's where my passion is right now. And getting good at something like that and making it entertaining to watch is my, like, that's my goal. Right. So like, for me, I'm like, cool, just keep putting, like, I'll play Mario again, the deluxe, you know, Yoshi looks great. Like, I know my wife will want to play that one. Animal Crossing. Like, I'll probably buy it. We were talking about it in Discord today. I'll buy it physical and digital just so I don't ever have to take it out, but I can still have it on my shelf. You know what I mean? Like, I have a sickness, but there's a very good chance, like, maybe Xbox comes up big next year with maybe Gears of War. Maybe
Crackdown.
Yeah, maybe if they can ever get it.
February.
Yeah, they moved it up a week too. It's not the 22nd with everything else. It's like a week earlier.
Yeah. So can I jump on this one to start? So I'm not a huge fan of console exclusives being in the race for game of the year. I understand why it is that way, but I feel like that would be Switch game of the year, Xbox game of the year, PlayStation game of the year. How are you the game of the year if you're a console exclusive? So I'm not as worried about Nintendo not coming out with a major player, because the Nintendo game of the year can be something different than game of the year. That being said, my game of the year, as everybody knows, for 2018 was Celeste, which I never would have guessed. I never liked indie games. But that's the beauty of the Switch. It's completely changed how I play video games. So if Nintendo can keep making me feel like a kid again when I'm playing video games and making me enjoy games I never thought I would like a, you know, Celeste. I'm not a huge fan. Not only do I not love indie games traditionally, I'm not even a huge fan of platformers anymore. So Celeste shouldn't be on my list, but it was the best. It's one of my favorite games of all time now.
Well, and it held up for 11 months for you as well, all throughout the whole year.
Yeah, I called it, what, the first
you called week the first I played week, it?
So, and, you know, Octopath was really good, and, you know, you could maybe argue that that could have been in the runnings for my game of the year. Pokemon, you know, it misses the cut for me because of the controls. I'm not saying not to get it. I've put 11 or 12 hours in it and I'm enjoying it. After this, I'm going to go make food and play some more. So I don't think Nintendo needs, you know, none of the games I listened or I just mentioned were huge, major Legend of Zeldas. And this has been a phenomenal year for me and my Switch. So I don't know that great if we get Metroid and it's awesome and in the runnings for game of the year. But you know what? PlayStation and Xbox fans can go play their Gears of War and Jak and Daxter. I don't know what PlayStation fans play. and I'll happily play the rest of the stuff that comes.
Near Automata, right?
That's coming to Switch too.
Well, yeah, according to Destinet, yeah.
So, you got, I want to hear from, so we know Eric's game of the year, Celeste, Nightcrawler, where are you at?
I mean, looking at the list that the Game Awards has up, I've at least dabbled in, what are there, five total? I've played four of the five, or no, hold on, one, two, four, five of the six. I have not played Odyssey. Celeste, I have beaten. I got to the summit. I have not touched all of the content that is in that game. There's so much left for me to go back and do. B-sides, C-sides, the core, all that kind of stuff is left for me to go do. But for me, what I have played, I have not even beaten it yet. For me, God of War, on this list, God of War is that game just because of how beautiful it is. It plays super smooth. I haven't gotten a ton into Red Dead. I've just been distracted, but that's also a beautiful game. But for me, just the action and the intensity that is God of War was very compelling. And I mean, it was enough for me to pick up a Spider-Man kind of drove me to pick up a PlayStation, but God of War was definitely worth the trip to get it. I did get it a PlayStation when it was super on sale with a Target mistake, but it was worth it. For me, though, Switch game of the year, even though it's not exclusive and it came out late For me, what I've been having the most fun as of late is Hollow Knight. I've been having a ton of fun with that. I think I'm like 20, 25 hours in. It's a very challenging and beautiful game, and it makes you think, and you have to really understand the you have to even put a thing on your character to even see where you are on the map. And when you go into a new place, you don't even get to see where you are. You're just in a blank black space until you find the cartographer to draw you a map. So it's very challenging and just great game that it wasn't even on my radar until it was announced at E3 this year. And then everyone kind of lost their mind in Discord, and I was holding off for a while, and then people just kept talking about it online and in the Discord, and I had to pick it up, and I've enjoyed what I've played with it. But Celeste is up there too. It was very good.
Destin, how about you?
Man, I've been going over this list and looking at all this stuff, and I haven't played all of them.
I mean, you can go off the list. It's your game of the year.
I mean, well, I'm just looking at, like, just to compare it to what they have, like, for the Game Awards, you know? None of these games have moved my needle whatsoever in any direction. It's so weird nowadays. We're so connected with the internet that it's like, you know, like, oh yeah, this game is great. It's like, oh, but did you hear that they made people work like a billion hours and like they couldn't sleep and you know, great, the horse poos. Awesome. Like, you know, it's like, and then Assassin's Creed, I've heard you've got to be like 80 levels above your current target. Otherwise, you know, might as well buy microtransactions to like, you know, have any fun in the game. So it's like all these ups and downs, and it's just like, this is why I think people should just unplug so you don't have to hear all the white noise. But honestly, like, I don't know. I'm closing this list because I'm tired of looking at garbage. So my game of the year, I don't even know. Like, I mean, let's bust open the Switch to see what we played a ton of. I played a ton of Splatoon 2. That was good. You know, Diablo, that's not game of the year because it came out 1,000 years ago.
seven years.
But I will say this, the games that kind of like grabbed my attention and I felt were very well done. Starlink, I saw this game and I'm like, I don't want this. This looks like every other game I've played. This looks like the worst parts of Mass Effect, you know, planet excavation. And then I jumped in and I love it. Totally overpriced for the package, but I guess congratulate them for at least doing something new. Even though Nintendo did throw like Fox in there, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I don't think it needed it as a game. But I really did like that. And then a little bit smaller game, which I don't think made any traction at all, and it's probably a blip on people's radar, is that Blade Strangers. Mm-hmm. I keep coming back and playing that, and it's just a simple fighter, and it's a very basic system. It's not even like Street Fighter where you have to do like a circle motion or like a charge attack. It's literally based on like button combinations, but I actually really liked Blade Strangers. So I guess I would say, I don't know, I think Starlink, was it Starlink? Space Link? Whatever that game is.
Starlink.
Mario Link?
Fox Link.
That would be my game of the year. I really enjoyed it. I didn't buy any of the toys, but I think that's why I say it's a little overpriced, because to play it otherwise and get the full experience.
It was $35 bucks this weekend as well, so early adopters got burned a little bit.
I don't want to hear that. Don't tell my bank account that.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I for $35 bucks, I would definitely check that out.
What about Octopath? I remember you liking Octopath. Kind of forgot about it.
That's just it. I kind of forgot about it. Don't get me wrong. The visuals are amazing.
Yeah.
Unreal 4 on that game is beautiful.
Yeah. They did an amazing like depth of field macro effect with the game. Mm-hmm. And it could have been very bland. I think you can turn some of that effect off. But I'm kind of like, why? That's like one of the major draws of the game.
I was going to say, I remember playing Octopath. I got kind of hung up in chapter 2 and I kind of stopped. But I remember going to, I don't know whose hometown it was, but this like seaside, and everything is stationary in your foreground, but that background, mm-hmm. you can see the water. The water's just moving. It was amazing what they did with that game.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. The came in from chat like, saying,
like, looks like this. Like,
he's doing his camera effect right now.
it's like, yeah. But I mean, it's so simple, right? Like, that's not like, I don't feel like that was like groundbreaking technology. It's just someone put it together and put it together in a very creative way.
I guess I want to go back because we already talked about it earlier, but I put over 120 hours into Xenoblade 2. And I got my Switch last year when Mario came out. I got Mario and I got Zelda within like a month and a half of everything. So I played through Mario, played through Zelda. And then when Xenoblade came out, I didn't get it right away. I watched Josh's stream that drove me enough to want to go get it. And I hadn't played much of a JRPG before. And I got completely sucked into that game enough to even talk two or three friends at work to picking it up. And they got sucked into it. And it was kind of something I was like, you have to get through the first like three chapters. And if you like it after that, you'll love the game. And that's pretty much what it is. I think it's a tragedy that it's not on at least the best RPG list. And I remember when this list came out, what, like 2 weeks ago? I think we delayed talking about it a little bit here. But Jeff Keighley put out a tweet saying, well, like, what do you think of the stuff? And immediately it was the whole thread was just full of where is Xenoblade 2? And people were jumping all over it. So I wonder if they will address some kind of honorable mention to Xenoblade 2 at Game Awards on next Thursday.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they looked at Xenoblade and it didn't make the cut because of some criteria. They don't say what the criteria is to make the cut. Is it a certain amount of sales? Is it word of mouth? Do they search on Twitter for hashtags? And if you don't hit a certain number of hashtags, you don't make the cut. Like, they don't talk about why the games are chosen that are chosen. So maybe it's not just because it came out at an awkward time. Maybe it didn't hit Jeff Keighley's radar, you know, or his team, or
and it's all subjective.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very subjective. I mean, any game of the year is subjective, right? That's why I wish we would just get away from an overall game of the year and go category, because we can all pretty much agree the best fighting game this year up until this point is Dragon Ball FighterZ or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little easier to narrow down. When you say game of the year and now you're putting Red Dead against God of War, those are two different games completely. One's an open world, do whatever you want. One's a story-driven God of War game. You know, it's hard to... And then you got Celeste in there. It's like, how do you put Celeste up against God of War? Like,
Yeah, it could win, though. It could win, and then, I mean, yeah. And it would go to show that you don't need to have AAA graphics. You don't need to have, you know, like the best engine for a game. I think to kind of do the opposite of what you just said. Okay, so you got like God of War in there, right? And you could. I would say, like, if I'm looking at the list right now, Red Dead, Spider-Man, God of War. I don't know about Monster Hunter so much, but it's just like those are games that are probably like really pushing the consoles, like hardware wise, mm-hmm. probably audio wise. And then you got Celeste in there, right? Which is like this 2D side scroller puzzle game.
Well, and we are ending the end of the generation as well. And usually big AAA game studios can push that hardware well beyond what it was intended to do.
Yeah.
Well, Celeste is the only game out there where they created a Twitter account that no one knew, or an Instagram account that no one knew about for 8 months. So,
yeah.
You know, they found ways into your heart.
But yeah, like, but even though that game isn't like no one's gonna say like, oh yeah, Celeste pushed the audio engine, the visual engine, the narrative story. Like, I don't know, but I think it depends on impact,
and I think it will win. It will win impact. I'm pretty confident it had an impactful story, and it addressed a
yeah
a delicate issue that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
But that's just it, you know. It's like, did it fit? Do the graphics? Yes, they're not bleeding edge, but do they fit for that style of game? Mm-hmm. And did the music? Like, I don't even remember the music. I don't think it's like giant sweeping musical score. You know, I mean,
no, it's awesome, awesome music, but
no, by like one God person, War, I believe.
Right. God of War probably blew $5 million on the audio budget, you know, to get probably the London Symphony Orchestra in there to record, you know, but. That fits for that game. If you would have had chip tunes for God of War, you'd have been like, this is stupid, you know, like whereas Celeste, it's music, you know, if it fits for that game and if the graphics fit for that style of game, then yes, I think it could very much be on the same level as God of War, Spider-Man.
I feel like Celeste has the most accurate depiction of wind in any video game ever created.
You've never played the Lost Levels, apparently. Oh. I'm just kidding.
Or Wind Waker.
Oh, touche. Oh, touche. So,
but yeah, I think when I say game of the year, like when someone says game of the year to me, I'm thinking like, okay, we're not was did it have the best X, Y, and Z, but did it have the best for what they were trying to accomplish? You know, like for example, Octopath Traveler. The music I thought was amazing. The visuals were amazing. Take the 3D like bokeh effect out of that game. It's any other retro RPG.
It's like. Chrono Trigger.
But you add an effect and you do it well and you know, you fine tune it and suddenly it pops and you're like, oh wow, this has got something, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, it's, I mean, again, does this even fall into the category? I beat this game this year, Mario 64. No, I'm kidding. But
no, it doesn't.
The game that I had the most like fun playing through and could not stop playing it was Xenoblade. Like, I couldn't. And for anybody that knows, especially this year, for me, this year has been the year of 15 minutes, right? Like, I play a game for 15 minutes to get a preview out and be able to talk about it on here. And then I move on to the next one. Like, there's very few things that I invest more time than that in, unless, you know, like it is Smash or Pokemon. I did play all the way through Kirby, but Xenoblade was
Kirby
like
Kirby plays itself.
Right. Exactly. So,
well, and you had, I mean, you had Joshua Palooza like 1 or 2 weeks in a row where you were just, it was weekend, full weekend streams that you were doing Xenoblade.
Yeah. I couldn't stop like 16 hour, 20 hours a weekend. I was playing until we finished it. Cause I'm like, I got to get this game done. It had its hooks in me. It drove me
to play it so I could stay just far enough ahead of you to help you out.
Well. So, but came in from the chat saying Octopath game of the year for her. Lumberjack saying the same thing. New York Medic in, I'm going from our Discord now, says Celeste. Anyone says Octopath. Anvil says my favorite game isn't out yet. And yeah, that's the other thing. When Smash comes out, I guarantee that's going to be like the game I can't put down. Right. I know that's going to be the case, but it's not coming out for another 2 weeks. These awards are going to be, they're going to come and gone already.
The day before.
Right. Someone, Octopath Traveler, Insane Mario Ultimate, Colt, Pokemon Let's Go for now. Although I assume Smash will be a close second. Mr. Cool Red Luigi, even though it hasn't released yet, I would still go with Smash Ultimate. B Squared, I would imagine Smash would take the cake for me. Someone also says maybe Into the Breach. Patrick Murphy, he says, if you count pre-release hype, then Smash Bros. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to play the Donkey Kong Adventure DLC for Mario plus Rabbids. Was also super fun. The whole game is awesome. Mr. Goobermania says, there have been so many games this year that I love, but being able to play Pokemon Let's Go with my kids has been the best experience. I'm reliving my childhood memories of the original game, but seeing my kids experience Pokemon for the first time has made Pokemon my game of the year. Lego Law says, I have to go with Octopath Traveler. And so on, guys. So many of you guys answered, and I greatly appreciate it. But I mean, there's like the list is super, super long. But I mean, it's Octopath. Some people say Mario Party. Some plumber put arms. You know, some people are saying Hollow Knight. And you know, it's a lot of the same games that we are mentioning. You know, and so it's good. It's good that those kind of, it's those experiences that we want. You know, hearing somebody get to introduce their kids to Pokemon and having that kind of experience, that's their game of the year, you know, because of the experience that it's bringing. You know, it doesn't matter that it's a simple story. It's a simple game that, you know, is very thin on story, and you throw a ball at the screen. It's those moments, right? That's Xenoblade for me. It was those moments of like, this is crazy, generating orbs and doing these massive attacks. And like, I'd never really experienced stuff like that because I'd never really played any JRPGs.
I got sucked into the story as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think we're gonna call it right there because we're already well past. So, Crawler, where can we find you?
You guys can find me hanging out in Josh's Discord. Also on Fridays on the Smash Bros. Cast. This week I did do some more test streams on Twitch, and I think I figured out I just can't be in a video call. Otherwise my CPU doesn't like it. So twitch.tv/nightcrawler724, Nightcrawler without the E. Come see us at the Smash Bros. Cast.
Eric, how about you, bud?
You'll find me on Discord. You'll find me on Twitter, all at @HateZero. I do want to announce, when everyone's playing Smash in December, I don't know when yet, I will be playing, what's that horse game called?
My Stable Life?
My Stables.
Yes, I'm going to pick up My Stables. And
wait, it's not My Stable Life? I thought it was a game about... My Stable Life.
Maybe it's that.
A game about having it all together. It doesn't matter
what it's going to be called. I'm going to be playing and streaming My Horsey Adventure, and you guys are going to enjoy it.
If it really is called My Stable Life, I feel like someone threw the name out there like, hey, let's create a game called My Stable Life. And it was about like depression and stuff like that. And the person's like, I could do that game. And they come back with that. And they're like, you're too far into it. Just put it out.
Hey, pick it up and 1v1 me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Pudding's going to do that.
Is there multiplayer?
No, of
dedicated
course not.
Servers?
Of course not.
Dedicated servers.
There is nothing.
Yeah, you can use the Nintendo Switch Online app. Don't worry.
It
don't
looks worry like about. A Nintendo 64 game. And
play with a Pokeball.
Destinat, where can we
be a joke?
Where can we find you?
People can find me in the Discord. I also have Twitter, iDestinat, not related to iCarly. Maybe we'll do a crossover, though. Who knows?
Yeah, how often do you eat spaghetti tacos? That's all
I don't even know what that means.
You don't watch enough iCarly, then.
I don't. Also, maybe keep an eye out. I'll post it in the Discord if I do. I think I got the stream locked in. I may be streaming from my new palatial New York, you know, apartment here. So, yeah. I'll post it, though.
That vertical screen going...
Awesome, guys. Well, hey, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all the places, it's at N64Josh. And Instagram is where I've been putting a lot of content right now. So if you want to check out some stuff there, there's always I've got lots of good clips from Smash Bros. And
no, you don't.
Of course, pictures of my collection of old and new games. So you can check that out at instagram.com/n64josh. You want to follow the show? It's at npowercast. The show notes for this episode will be available at n64josh.com/npc149. Guys, I have an article coming out for beginners getting into Smash. If you want to check that out, it'll be coming out real soon. And that's it. We're out of time. The song is over. So we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye now.